Get ready for a blessing as we join our dear friend, Pastor John Meade from Columbus, Ohio, as he shares a unique sermon entitled, God Bringing the Bride. I know it'll bless your heart. Let's join the message.
I was talking to Cal Ray earlier about this. I've done a series of messages last month myself. I'm not much on this series because I have a hard time hooking them all up the way Cal Ray can. But I got into this series of stewardship. And I dealt with the stewardship of my own temple. And Brother Cal helped me out with some of the things about the temple and the work inside the temple. And then Paul would later on say, know ye not that you're the temple of the living God. I thought, boy, how important it is for us to realize we're the tabernacle that he dwells in. It's nice that you're going to build this new building. But let me tell you, folks, way before you ever dig the first shovel full of dirt, God's already moved inside of you. I told our church, when we built our church in Columbus, I said, I don't care how beautiful the building is. It doesn't matter how nice the seats are, how well conditioned it is, and all the temperature setting, how beautiful the building may be. It'll just be another building, except the Lord goes in the building with us. Glory to God! But I'm glad He went in. I'm glad He came in with me. And I'm glad He came in with the church. And because of that, great and mighty things are happening. Know you not that you're the temple of the living God? And I thought about when God saw Adam in his state of being. He made him male and female according to his divine plan. In chapter 2, the Bible said God made a statement. It's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmate. And then he went on after he had made that statement in the next verse in chapter 2 there. I believe it's verse 18 or 19. He goes ahead and makes all the animal kingdom. And he lets Adam go through and name every one of them whatever he wanted to call them. But you see, when he got finished up with that, then he caused Adam to go to sleep. I got to wrestling around with that. God said it wasn't good for him to be alone. Why did he wait? Why did he wait? I mean, we know God wants us to have it all, don't we? I mean, all of His is mine and all of mine is His. The last time I checked, we're joining ours with Jesus Christ. Hey, we've got the same heaven. We got the same Spirit, the same Lord, by the same faith, the same baptism. We're all baptized into one body. God said it's not good for Adam to be alone. But he starts making animals and places everything out there and let Adam go and do all he needed to do to name them. And God just let him name them to see what he'd call them. When he got done, he caused Adam to go to sleep. While Adam was asleep, he slipped a rib out of his side, made him a woman. And if you'll read in that verse, there's a very unique thing that took place there. When he made that woman, the Bible said he brought him to Adam. You know one of the reasons I believe that the marriages are in such a mess today? I believe we're trying to go get the wise fellas, and we're not letting God send them. Hey, you think God don't know who you need? Come on. It ain't no wonder there's so many divorces in America. It ain't no wonder there's so much fighting and fussing and feuding and fuming going on in the house. Call the home in America today. Bless God, if we could get back and let God set the thing up and let God bring it into it, bless the Lord, I believe it'll work a lot better. I thought about, boy, God says, I'll let you have everything that's out there, Adam, to look at. You just do it, call what you want about it, enjoy it. But when he got done, he saw that he was still alone. He still needed something special. That's why he took a bone from his own flesh and brought him in and made this woman and presented her to him. And bless God, I'll hear one preacher say, when Adam woke up, he took one look at Eve and said, wow! She's sitting back there. I took one look at her one time, right over her best friend's shoulder. I was dating her best friend. I had to be careful. But I thought, wow, that's her. That's her. And it wasn't long after that I wiggled around her. And I got to where Carolyn was. And I've been happy ever since. I hope you... Come on, fellas. Huh? Am I preaching? God placed her before Adam. Adam said, now she's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken from a man. And it goes on to say, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'll no longer be two, but they'll become one in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I come to a conclusion on this passage of Scripture right here, and I'm going to ask you a question. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, would there have ever been a divorce? to man. Impossible. Therefore, what happened back there in the garden brought a transgression that's been handed down from generation to generation. You see, the flesh back then wasn't corrupted flesh until it committed sin. Then it became a corruptible vessel, and because it was corrupted, we've been battling the flesh from Adam's day to the present. And I might add to you, we'll battle it till we get home safe. But can I tell you, when I get there, it'll be all right. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it'll be all right there. There'll be no more regulation. There'll be no more government. There'll be no more legislation. I want you to know the law is done away with, and the grace of God will appear in such a way that we'll fly out of here. Hallelujah. Wow, I'm glad of that. Right in the middle of this, I want you to look at something else now that he wrote in Ephesians. Woo! Boy, it's free here tonight. If they throw me out, can I come down here with you? Oh, let's go to verse 32 and look at something here. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and His church. Did you get that? I speak concerning Christ and His church. I don't claim to be a theologian in the Scripture, I'm telling you folks. I carry a lot of baloney in my pocket. I'm not a big hand at cutting the steaks and serving them. I'm going to tell you something I found out. You can use some common sense and get along with God. You don't have to be a know-it-all. Revelation chapter 21 says something here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Listen to what else it said. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can I say something to you from the time that I read in Ephesians, looking back to Genesis, I can also turn and look toward Revelation 21, and I can see a picture perfect marriage. I can see a marriage that's foolproof. I can see a marriage that's consumed in love. I can see a marriage that works. I can see a marriage that's eternal. I can see a marriage the devil will never attack. Why? Because for the first time from the garden till I get home safe, bless the Lord, I'll have a glorified body and a flesh that's pure and holy once again. Job said, if this body should die before the skin worm could devour this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Therefore, I know there's a fleshly body. This old mortal body will put on immortality. Oh yeah, this old fleshly body will put on a glorified body. I'll see Him like He is. I'll know what He knows. Then, bless God, the writer said, I'll be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. From one extreme to the other. Listen, I didn't do too well the first round, but I want you to know on the second lap heading down the home stretch, it's getting better. I'm going to make it safe. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. When you come to Calvary, oh, listen, I know that husband of yours, ladies, might not have been the husband he ought to be. Or, hey, fellas, that wife might have run off and left you. But can I tell you, you're a spouse to one now in an engagement that will produce a marriage that's out of this world one day, beyond the sunset, beyond the Milky Way. There's going to be a wedding like we've never seen before. And I want you to know, God the Father will be there. Jesus Christ will be the groom. He'll introduce us to the Father. You talk about a celebration, it'll be out of this world. Man, I want to go there. I want to go there. We've messed it up so bad down here that I don't know if it can be fixed here. I don't believe it can. It's plumb out of bounds. Sin is running rapid. But oh, where sin has run rapid, I want you to know the grace of God has much more abound. And because it abounds today, folks like those that come forward tonight can still come and be a spouse to Christ. Oh yes, there's an invitation sent out like this. Hear the Master calls, come and die. Oh, listen, you can come and eat at His table all the time. He that fed the hungry multitude and turned the water to wine, He says to those that are hungry, come and die. Amen. Yes, we know that's to the family of God. But I want you to know the Gentiles that were standing outside all the gates in the palace of the Jews and all of their sanctuary. As much as they wanted to get in, they couldn't. But when Jesus hung on the cross, the veil of that temple was ripped from top to bottom, saying to the whole world, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It's going to happen. I was 19 years of age when God touched my heart the first time. I was 482 miles from Dad's backyard. I remember that day as God began to trouble my life and I got saved. I remember picking the phone up and calling Mom. She said, I know you got saved, didn't you? I said, how did you know? She said, I don't know. I just know. There's something about a mother's love. Huh? They know when that son's in trouble. But oh, let me tell you, that little lady sitting back there, she had been to church and got saved. She come back and showed me a love like I'd never seen before. You see, I knew I loved her. I knew that I was to spend my life with her. I'd been taught that as a child, that I needed to make an honest living, that I needed to love my wife, that I needed to guide the home. We talked that all out before we got married. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I was just a big 18 or 19-year-old idiot. I thought I had it figured out and I didn't know nothing. But that night when I bowed before Him and He come into my life, He put a new song in my heart. He put a grace there that had never been. He filled me with His Holy Spirit. I called Him a Father. Hallelujah. And He called me a son. And I've never got over that night. I've been engaged to Him ever since too. I'm not talking about homosexuality, fellas. I'm talking about the divine love of glory. The Son of God's coming to get me. And I'm going to heaven. How do you know, preacher? Well, over there, I believe it's Thessalonians 4. I read down about verse number 16. The Lord Himself. Oh, yeah. He's done a lot of great things in my life, and I'm sure He has you. Oh, He saved me. He's done miracles in my life. He's touched my body at times and healed me. He's worked miracles right before me. I've seen things happen in our church that could not be explained except it was only God. I see things and hear things from here that there's only one explanation. It had to be God. Oh, but let me tell you, through it all, I've witnessed His presence. Through it all, I've witnessed His power. Through it all, I've experienced the faith. Through it all, I've had Him by my side. Through it all, bless God, He's never left me, never forsook me. Oh, through it all, He made a promise, I'll be back to get you. And the Lord is coming one day in the clouds of glory to gather us up, and we're going to fly out of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I get a little excited about it sometimes. I'm going to heaven. How about you? I'm a spouse. You see, He gave me the invitation. I came to Him. I don't remember exactly how I finagled around to get to Carolyn, but I got the message to her. I was interested in her. Her best friend told her. Hang on, I ain't done. She also told her, I'll give you a year with Him. If you make it a year, I'll give you a lifetime. May the 15th will be 36 years. And if I had it to do over, I'd marry her again. Can I tell you something, though? When I was 19 years of age in Joliet, Illinois, a friend of Jesus come my way. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible speaks about it. As oft as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. Somebody that becomes a spokesperson for Christ becomes a friend to Him. But let me tell you something even greater than that friend. It was the Spirit that He carried with Him. The invitation Spirit. The Spirit that said, come and now, come and get your part. Come and take your part. There's room for you. That old soul writer said, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. We can't quit. We can't quit. We can't quit. Bless God forevermore. There's nowhere to quit here. We got to work here until we go there. When we go there, we can rest forever. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit became my best friend to lead me to Christ. You see, I didn't understand what He was. I didn't know Him. But there was a troubling that come into my life. Do you remember that? How many of you remember when you were convicted? You know, I heard people say, boy, that conviction wasn't so bad. You didn't get the kind I got then. Man, I couldn't rest. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't concentrate. Hey, I was in the worst lost condition you ever saw in your life because the Holy Spirit brought that conviction. We need that old-fashioned conviction again. I'm not saying you have to cry. But boy, I tell you, it don't hurt a thing to let it roll. God sees the tears. He knows where they're coming from. And boy, as He observes that and watches that, it moves the throne room of glory on your behalf, especially when you start looking to Jesus and you start trusting the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. As that invitation was given and you went forth and invited Him in your heart and you were a spouse to Him. Now let me tell you something, friend. If you're truly a spouse to Him and you're truly expecting to come, bless God, everyone that has this hope, He purifies Himself. Hallelujah. He wants to live right. If you were engaged to a lady today and you come back to see her 6 months or a year later, maybe out of a military life, and you found she wasn't faithful, real possibility you wouldn't want to settle down with her, would you? Now, I said that to say this. I know God's grace goes farther than that. If He didn't, none of us would make it. I better say that again. I don't think you got that. If it didn't, none of us would make it. You do understand you're not going on your good works. Surely we know that. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 says, but all were His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Glory to God unto good works. I'm closing with this. You see, when God put this thing together, He paralleled the husband and wife relationship with the relationship of Christ and His church. Now, I don't understand it. The Bible says it's a mystery. But I do know this much about it. It gets more personal in the latter lap than it did the first one. Let me show you why I'm saying that. You see, in the first setting, God went down in the garden and He visited with him on a daily basis. Adam and Eve committed sin that broke that fellowship. And because that was broken, that marriage was in jeopardy. Because God knew the faithfulness wasn't there. Listen to this. We wonder why marriages are having such a time. Neither one of them can trust the other. That's why. Your flesh is not trustworthy. Look up here, holier than thou. I want you to hear this. Your flesh is not trustworthy. It never will be. Not here. Oh, but let me tell you, the city I'm going to, you can trust me there. There won't be a door locked nowhere. Glory to God. There won't be no jewelry to hide over there. There won't be a sickness nowhere. But oh, to know the devil's not allowed in the city. Let me tell you, to really glorify the family of God as we stand before Him that day, you need to read the 21st chapter and look at how beautiful that city was. It was a type of the bride. And we were introduced right in that chapter as the bride of Christ. Let me tell you something, neighbor. That holy city would just be another place if we wasn't there. Oh, yeah. Huh. We're something. We're not yet. We're not much down here now, but you wait where we're going. We're something there. You see, the devil can accuse you today. He can tear you down today. He can vilify you today. He can make you think you're the nice nothing for a Christian ever lived today. But where I'm going, his dirty mouth won't never speak to me again. He'll never bother me again. He'll never be allowed to speak again. In fact, he can't even go there. You say what you want. That'll beautify heaven to me. Yes, I want my family there. I want my wife there. I want my dad and mom there. I want all the siblings. I want all of them. Hey, but let me tell you, if Jesus ain't there, it'll just be another get-together. But you see, the good news is the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. You know what that tells me? I ain't going out of here alone. I ain't going alone. He's going to lead the charge. And I've always said this. I've read her all the way through from one side to the other. I've never found anywhere where the Lord Jesus shout until the day the Father says, go get them. And the Lord will come with a shout. Say what you want. If He comes a shouting, I'm leaving with one. Somebody said, why do you want to shout? I'm standing practice. He's going to shout his way down. I'm going to shout my way home. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. And I'll never be the same again.